Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. This evening, we continue our preview of Saturday's World Boxing Council heavyweight title rematch between the champion, Deontay Wilder, and the challenger, Tyson Fury. Wilder and Fury held a heated pre-fight news conference on Wednesday in Las Vegas, Nevada. Joining us with details is VOA's Gwen Ooten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings. Sonny, we may have to wait a few days for the highly anticipated rematch, but we were able to witness a bit of a pre-fight shoving match between the heavyweights before team members had to step in and intervene. The two men then sat on stage at the MGM Grand with a reporter strategically placed between them, and the trash talking commenced. Here's Deontay Wilder with a hit below the belt.
Don't ever forget, when I found you was strung out on coke. When I found you was like a big house, contemplating about killing yourself. So don't you ever forget who brought you to Big Time Box. I drugged you back. I brought you back. I provided food and put food on your table for your family to eat. And I'm doing it for the second time. So don't you ever forget that. I brought you to Big Time Box. And last time you were here, what did you do? Who came up and showed and saw you? How many? 15 the first time, 35 the second time. When I came, how many showed up? Damn near sold it out. This time around, I sold the pay-per-view too. And this time around, they here for me to see unfinished
untrue
business.
All untrue.
That's
I
fact.
Was the man who
that is fact.
Statement, we and that took over fact. The division, not you.
That is fact.
And I brought you
I'm
to the
talking.
Tyson, I give you your
I'm
biggest
talking banana peel.
You've ever had.
I'm talking big woman.
And here's Tyson Fury with the counterpunch.
Deontay Wilder spouting a lot of rubbish. He gave me an opportunity, did he? I give him his biggest paydays of his whole life. Got him a big contract with Showtime. Brought him to the biggest stage in the world, being Las Vegas. And here he is. This is how he thanks me. He's got a whole lot of appreciation for someone who's fed him, looked after him, and put millions in his account. Very nice person, D. You know, you owe me everything. I brought you to this level. Welcome to Big Time Boxing. It's his second fight on the top. He fought his number one ranked opponent, Luis Ortiz, in his last fight. He'd done 300,000 buys.
Fight.
Against 300,000 buys in the biggest country in the world.
Nobody wanna
I
fight.
Can fight a bum and do a million views at home.
The rematch has been a long time in the making. The two heavyweights first met in December of 2018 in a controversial draw that left their undefeated records intact and both fighters dissatisfied. On Wednesday, Deontay Wilder pointed out that scheduling the rematch in February, a month in which Americans observe Black history, will come at a disadvantage to his opponent.
Man, they picked the wrong month for this fight to happen. And I've said that many times. And when I knock the Gypsy Queen out, we're going to have a Black History trivia question. That's going to be spread all over the world. And they're going to be able to write it any type of way they want it.
Fury responded that their upcoming fight is not a racial war between a Black man versus a white man. It's just two heavyweight boxers going toe-to-toe for the title. And the British heavyweight said his advantage is that he's a bigger star than American Deontay Wilder.
You know, I learned a lot of things. I learned that I can come here and crack the biggest country in the world and become a bigger star than their homegrown heavyweight. That's one thing I learned. I learned that I can unite two TV stations, ESPN Plus and Fox Pay-Per-View, and unite two of the biggest rival promoters in the world. Is there anything the Gypsy King can't do? Including slap him in the mouth. Nothing I can't do. Already done it, been there, done it, wore the T-shirt a million times. Wilder, this is a big act for him. He's very nervous underneath. I can see his jumper going in and out with his heartbeat pounding out of his chest. Terrified.
You believe he's terrified. Nervous right now sitting
he's
on stage
nervous.
With you?
He's nervous as hell. He don't know what to expect. He doesn't know what to
funny?
Expect. And he's
your,
getting
your
knocked out.
Your job is stand up, man. That's what you...
Knocked out.
Vegas, bro.
Knocked out.
When I knock you out, go do stand-up comedy, bro. You got a career in that.
Well, whether or not Tyson Fury takes up the challenge of one day becoming a stand-up comedian remains to be seen. First, The two heavyweights have some unfinished business to take care of. Who will win the heavyweight title? We will find out when Wilder and Fury duke it out on Saturday at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. And that is all from me. Sonny, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I asked our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta, about the broadcast arrangements and pay-per-view projections for Wilder Fury 2.
Well, the promoters are looking at 2 million pay-per-view buy. And also remember, this fight is a co-promotion between two major networks in America, ESPN that owns Tyson Fury. Then you're talking about the Fox network that owns Deontay Wilder with PBC. These two brought in their power together to promote this fight on their platforms. It's been going okay. And 2 million is a big buy because you got to go back and look at the number from the first fight. The first fight was only 325,000 buy. Personally for me, I would say anywhere from 800,000 buy to 1 million because of the two networks coming in to put their muscle behind the promotion. I don't see it getting any 2 million buy.
What about the contractual arrangements, Namdi? Would there be a third fight between Wilder and Fury?
Yes, Sonny, that's a good question. They have this, what we call the trilogy clause. The trilogy clause means that the loser has 30 days to call on the rematch, and that has to be accepted, which means if Deontay Wilder loses, he has 30 days to call for a rematch, and there's a contract, it must be respected. But, Sonny, how about if Deontay Wilder goes out there and blows out Tyson Fury in one round? Will you pay to see a trilogy?
I don't think so, Namdi.
White fans are not dumb, man. If it's a close fight where Fury was able to put Deontay on the floor, Deontay was struggling to get up, and then they go 12 rounds and they give it to Deontay, sure, we want to see the third fight. But if Deontay wipes him out clean, or Tyson Fury goes there and gets lucky and something happens and the referee stops the fight and Tyson Fury is now the new champion, sure, we want to see a third fight. So it depends on what plays out Saturday night at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas.
Namdi, will the winner on Saturday night in Vegas be considered the best heavyweight boxer in the world?
I don't think so, Sonny, because my homeboy from Africa is sitting right here in the UK. You can't tell me Deontay Wilder or Tyson Fury will be number one and AJ will be number two. But on the other hand, it all depends on how Deontay Wilder dismantles Tyson Fury. It depends on how Tyson Fury comes out of this fight. If it's a struggle for both guys, AJ will always be number one.
Namdi, you mentioned AJ. What does he have lined up in 2020?
Well, the deal is solid. We're just waiting for announcement. June 20, Tottenham Hall, Hotspur's brand new stadium in London. That's where it's going to go down, Sonny. Anthony Joshua against Kubrat Pulev for the IBF mandatory fight. Kubrat Pulev is from Bulgaria. So June 20, pack your bags, bro. We're heading to the UK. It's London. And this brand new stadium seats 62,303 people. When you throw in the pitch on the ground, you may have at least a good 65,000 to 66,000 people coming out to see Anthony Joshua return to the UK with Kubrat Pulev. I expect to see a very, very good fight, Sonny.
Namdi, if Anthony Joshua beats Kubrat Pulev on June 20th, would he then be in position to fight the winner of Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury 2?
He still has one more mandatory for the WBO heavyweight belt against Alexander Usyk, who is the current cruiserweight champion of the world at WBO. So that's another mandatory fight. He has to do that or give up the belt. And there's a talk of Anthony Joshua giving up the WBO belt instead of fighting Usyk. Personally, I think after Kubrat, we should take Usyk, and he should be able to stop Usyk and be easy fight. And that will allow the big fight with the winner of Tyson Fury on Wilder to marinate, and then we come back in the fall or end of 2020, and we see a mega, mega, mega clash with the winner of these two guys.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta.
Sporty greetings. This is Tony Ibitoye, the media officer of the Super Eagles of Nigeria. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
I encourage our Voice of America listeners to check out Jim Stevenson's weekly Game Room podcast via voanews.com. In Jim's latest Game Room extravaganza, he includes basketball and auto racing news. And Jim begins with presidential support for the Daytona 500 auto race in Florida.
The Daytona 500 is a legendary display of roaring engines, soaring spirits, and the American skill, speed, and power that we've been hearing about for so many years. The tens of thousands of patriots here today have come for the fast cars in the world-class motorsports.
President Donald Trump presided over what should have been the start of the Daytona 500 in Florida Sunday.
For 500 heart-pounding miles, these fierce competitors will chase the checkered flag, fight for the Harley J. Earl Trophy.
But that would have to wait until Monday, as just the second rain postponement in 62 years sent the president and race fans home. When the so-called Great American Race did get underway, drivers had to contend with two red flag stoppages for accidents and then two overtimes. After a massive pileup was cleared, the final sprint to the finish included one of the most horrific wrecks, as former Daytona 500 champion Ryan Newman was bumped from behind by Ryan Blaney. Newman's car veered across the track, hit the wall, was immediately hit by another car and sent airborne, flipping several times before landing on the roof, bursting into flames, and skidding across the finish line in fourth place. Last year's champion Denny Hamlin edged Blaney for the checkered flag in the second closest finish in race history. Hamlin began celebrating, unaware what had happened to Newman.
Him crossing the track there was a bad scenario in the first place, but it's a weird balance of, you know, excitement and happiness for yourself, but obviously someone's health and their family's, you know, bigger than any win in any sport. So, we're just hoping for the best.
The Joe Gibbs Racing team was heavily criticized for celebrating amid the crash, but Gibbs explained his team had no idea the severity of the accident.
Everybody was celebrating, and you knew that there was a wreck, but we have a lot of wrecks, and didn't know that there was something serious about it. We got in here, we're celebrating. I think it probably looked to some people that we were celebrating. We didn't understand that. When people told Danny and everything, it was subdued after that.
Newman was pulled from the wreckage behind large black screens to shield the scene from fans. He was rushed to a nearby hospital, where, after several hours, good news came. He had amazingly survived with non-life-threatening injuries. Steve O'Donnell is with NASCAR.
Ryan Newman is being treated at Halifax Medical Center. He's in serious condition, but doctors have indicated his injuries are non-life-threatening. We appreciate your thoughts and prayers and ask that you respect the privacy of Ryan and his family during this time.
That scary and incredible finish was how the 2020 NASCAR season began.
Stand up! Stand up!
sports fans have a lot to hear each day on VOA. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports for the latest from Africa, the United States, and around the world.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro.
Find the Sunny Side of Sports on the radio, online, and as a podcast.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
I get it.
The National Basketball Association All-Star Game came down to final free throws as Team LeBron James defeated Team Giannis, led by Giannis Antetokounmpo, 157-155 in Chicago. Kawhi Leonard poured in 30 points for Team LeBron, commenting after the game on the new format and finishing with free throws.
They pretty much made the last six or seven free throws towards the end. They kept giving them, so we want to minus those points as well. But the new format was good. I felt like it was fun in that fourth quarter.
LeBron James, who scored 23 points, was happy with the way the game ended.
Listen, you can win a finals game at the free throw line. You know, it's a lot of things that happen on the playground that you can't do in our game, too, where you can literally foul every single time and not get disqualified. So, I've been in games where you've won games at the free throw line, and that's all part of the game. If he would have missed both, no one would have been talking about it, you know. But, you know, it's all part of the game, and it was a hell of a way to end the game, just from an all-star perspective.
Leonard was the game's most valuable player and was given the award now named for Kobe Bryant, who was killed in a helicopter crash in January.
It was very special. Like I said, I had a relationship with him. You know, worst can explain how happy I am for it. You know, able to put that trophy in my room, in my trophy room, and just be able to see, you know, Kobe name on there. It just means a lot to me. It's a big inspiration in my life. He did a lot for me.
Giannis had 25 points and thought the game was fun.
After the game, my brother came down and he said, this has been the most fun All-Star that he's been a part of. And I asked him why. He told me because you guys was really competitive. You guys were playing to win. And, Team Giannis, that's what we were trying to do. We were trying to come out, set the tone, play hard. And especially in the fourth quarter, you know, the defense got tighter. Guys were hitting one another. Every possession count. It was kind of, he had a little bit of playoff intensity out there. So that kind of, I loved it. You know, I hope they can keep the same format for a lot of years. And I think people had fun. We had fun. So that's what it's all about.
Nick Nurse coached Team Giannis and is happy how the game born in the United States is now a truly global sport.
I've been fortunate to coach a lot globally, right, with a lot of different countries and a lot of different situations. And I think that's one of the super unique things about basketball in the NBA is how popular we continue to grow all across the world, and the global growth continuing everywhere and anywhere is great for our game.
Game Room
In Depth.
The National Basketball Association has arguably been the most successful U.S. professional league in exporting its sport around the world. The NBA's largest and perhaps most successful outreach has been in China. But recently, the ball has bounced flat amid a backlash about free speech and now the outbreak of the coronavirus. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver says his league will carry on.
Our view as the league is we should continue doing the things that we've done. In the past, we have had a relationship in China for 40 years now. You know, dating back to 1979 when the then Washington Bullets played there. And when it came to the coronavirus, I would say we thought for a moment, should we be doing the things that we've always done around disasters in the world, the kinds of humanitarian relief efforts that we've been involved in China, Africa, India, United States. And we thought, my God, like, from in terms of what we stand for, we should continue to do, this should be business as usual.
Silver says NBA popularity in China remains high.
In terms of the country China, I would say we retain our strong relationship with our fans. You know, as I've said before, I very much believe in what I would call these people-to-people exchanges, and that is a cultural exchange of the distribution of NBA games in China. And we know from interest in NBA
digitally and from the games that are being streamed there, I think as was recently reported, the ratings are about where they were last season.
A clash about free speech resulted in NBA games being taken off of state-run television.
Our games have not returned to CCTV, the government broadcaster. My sense is they will at some point in the future. We are not pressing them. I believe it's a decision that's outside of certainly our control. And I will say I'm often not even sure exactly where that decision lies.
But the NBA commissioner is looking to the future in China.
There are two sets of games that may potentially be played in China. There have been discussions about pre-Olympic games. So this would be USA basketball playing in China. And so there are ongoing discussions there, and there also are ongoing discussions about whether we will return for preseason games next year. I will say that it has been the case in the past that in years where we're playing internationally, sometimes in that same market with pre-Olympic games when it's the USA team, because those are all NBA players when it comes to the USA team, that we may not do both. It may be the case that if we play pre-Olympic games with USA basketball in China, we then may decide not to play preseason games this coming season. But again, those are issues that haven't been decided yet.
And Adam Silver is excited as the NBA makes a substantial move on a different continent.
We are launching our Basketball Africa League with 12 teams on March 13th in Senegal. I'd say I'm personally very excited about it. If you think about the growth of sort of the interest from Africa in the league over the years, sort of the modern history back to 1984, Hakeem Olajuwon being drafted to today where we have almost hard to imagine, but 40 NBA players who were either born in Africa or one of their parents were born in Africa. So we have tremendous talent that's coming from the continent and tremendous interest. And so it's a market where, the league has spent a lot of time over the last several years. It's actually the 10th anniversary of when we opened our office in Johannesburg. And we see great opportunity.
Silver talks about the new competition in Africa.
What's being described as a league is, I think, by sort of U.S. sports parlance, could also be called a tournament, because we're taking 12 existing club teams and in essence, put sort of a Champions League-like, you know, where that's called a league. It's really a tournament of existing teams. And then scheduling competition together with our partners FIBA over the course of several months.
Technology is changing how the NBA reaches and interacts with its fans, and Adam Silver says that change is very evident in Africa.
Now you have in Africa, you know, an estimated 700 million cell phones, and I think the last I looked, you know, 450 million or so of those phones are smartphones. So you now have the ability of people throughout Africa to stream our games. So we think there's enormous interest in the NBA and part of growing this interest in basketball.
That's NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. And thanks to my VOA colleague Jim Stevenson for that spicy game room package. Our Voice of America listeners can check out Jim's weekly Game Room podcast via voanews.com. Following the All-Star break, the NBA resumes its regular season schedule later Thursday night with 6 games. The 2020 NBA All-Star Game was held at United Center in Chicago, the home arena of the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls are struggling this season with a losing record, 19 wins and 36 losses. They'll be at home later Thursday night against the Charlotte Hornets, who are owned by former Chicago star Michael Jordan. The Hornets also have a losing record, 18 wins and 36 losses. The NBA's best record belongs to Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks, 46 victories and 8 defeats. The Bucks have a road game Thursday night against the Detroit Pistons. Giannis is currently second in the NBA in scoring, averaging 30 points a game. James Harden of the Houston Rockets leads at 35 points a game. And Giannis is also fifth in the NBA in rebounding, averaging 13.5 rebounds each game. Andre Drummond of the Cleveland Cavaliers, he's currently the NBA's leading rebounder at 16 rebounds a game. And that wraps up the February 20th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. thanks to my producer, Mukbil Yabaro. Thanks also to Voice of America engineer Wojtek Zorniak. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA. Or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on the Voice of America.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.